الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين. أما بعد، حياكم الله يا الإخوة والأخوات إلى هذا اللقاء المتجدد من لقاءاتي الطريق أو المفتاح إلى العلم أو مفتاح العلم. Dear brothers and sisters, you are welcome to this session of Key to Knowledge. And as we know that we have, inshallah ta'ala, today a session that we begin with your questions, inshallah. But we want to do one thing as usual. No one to write the question until we tell him, please. Especially people on music, because it keep going up and I cannot then read the question and respond to it. In regard to the brothers and sisters on Paltalk, please raise your hand if you have any question regarding the last topics. The last two topics. Naam? Right. And prepare your questions on Paltalk so you can send it immediately once we ask you to, please. Do not send it before that. Right. We begin with music. If you have any question, brothers, one question only to be said. Okay, let us see one question, please. Right, I have seen no questions from Wizek. We'll take from Paltalk until Wizek is ready. Okay, Umm Abdullah says, Assalamu alaikum. Is it from the Sunnah to recite Surah Sajda after Isha? Surah Sajda after Isha? I don't know that it is from the Sunnah. Allah knows best. I really don't know. The Sunnah of Surah Sajda is to be recited in the masjid on the morning in the Fajr prayer on a Friday. That is the Sunnah, but I don't know if it is been reported that Surah As-Sajda to be recited after Isha. But what I know is that Surah Al-Mulk, Tabarak Al-Ladhi, is the surah that to be recited before sleeping, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Allahu A'lam. I will take another, a question from Muzik, inshallah. Here, Hafsa says, is it permissible to make dua to the Jews and Christians by pointing out errors and contradictions in their texts? Dawah, you mean dawah? Well, this will need someone who is very highly educated in religion, so that he can respond to this. Otherwise, it is then dangerous for just a normal Muslim to go and
give da'wah this way. Allahu a'lam. Now, what's that? Qawarir says, Ya Shaykh, is it allowed to make da'wah to the unbelievers through Injil and Torah, like pointing out verses and their text where Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as stated in that book. Well, as I said, yani, it's okay if it is so, but again, it is difficult for the common Muslim to go and do that because it might then be dangerous for him or her to get protected from the false thoughts and influence. Allahu A'lam. I will take one from Paltok, inshallah. Okay. Question from Abdul Jalil or Abu Jamal Shaheed. Or Shadid, Abu Jamal Shadid says, how do we know after doing ruqya upon a person that the jinn has left that person forever? Well, there is not any way to know that the jinn has left now, rather to know that left forever. But all what you do is recite the Quran and make the dua and the ruqya that you know from the Quran and Sunnah, or what adheres the Quran and Sunnah, and then you just if he says, if he feels that he's normal now, he's back to normal, that's alhamdulillah. If he's still suffering what he's suffering of, then we can continue performing the ruqya for him. But it is not correct what many ruqa do, or the jinn says he's going to come out of his small toe or his thumb or his ear. This is all nonsense. And they say, well, this is by experience. People before you were much more expert than you, like the Sahaba, like the others. They did not say that. Even Rasulullah ﷺ did not say that when he did the ruqya to certain people. But I don't know how these people say that. Allahu A'lam. Another question from Paltok, from Abu Mujahid, says, are there any angels that accompany the kuffar for writing of their deeds? Yes, of course. Every mankind has two angels. Every mankind has two angels. One records the good deeds, and one records the bad deeds. Now, when we say good deeds in regard to the kuffar, it means even if he, if it is not it's not a prayer, it's not, but if it is, for example, helping someone, it should be written, because on the day of resurrection, he would say, oh Allah, I did this. Yes, you did this. We know it, it's written, but you've been rewarded for it in this world, in the worldly life. Now, So every mankind, as Allah Ta'ala said in many ayat, that Allah Ta'ala said kiraman katibin ya'lamuna ma taf'alun, ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. Naam. And also in Surah Qaf, in Surah Qaf, Allah Ta'ala said ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد, إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. نعم. So there are يعني angels who write everything from mankind. Now, Allah Alam. طيب, we take from one another question from Wizard, inshallah. And that's why I said, please, ya Khwan, you're still يعني like been to Arubio. We said, please do not send your question until we tell you, and do not repeat your question, sending it again and again, because this will cause the other lose their questions. Now, I'm so please. Okay. Bintu Arubio says, Assalamu alaikum, Shama. Is it allowed for me as a woman to answer the salam of a non-Muslim, a non-mahram man? And what about answering the salam of a non-mahram man in this class, Wizik, when no one else as a man answers his salam? Well, if you, first of all, it is permissible to answer the salam of any non-mahram man, but not with softening your voice in a way of attraction. Now, just normally, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, and as you said now in this classroom in Wizik, if I say assalamu alaikum, are you going to respond to my salam? You just say between yourself, yani you say to yourself, wa alaikum assalam. I did not hear it, no one of the brothers heard it, but Allah Ta'ala heard it, and the angels who write the good deed have written it for you. Naam? As well as when the phone rings and you pick up the handset, and there is a man on the other side saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, what do you do then? You say, no, I don't answer because he's non-mahram. What if he says, is Muhammad there? And Muhammad is your father, son, husband, whatsoever. What are you going to say? You knock on the answer like this? Or what are you going to say? You're going to say yes or no. I'll wait a minute. So it is permissible for a woman to respond the salam of a man, even non-mahram. The sound is not aura, ya ikhwan. The sound is not aura. There is no sound. And was there no sound? Is there any sound now? Is there any sound on Wizik? Sound now? No? I don't know then what happened. You have sound now?
You have any song now? You have any song or music? No. Okay. All right. So now you have sound?
Shama, do you have sound now? Okay, alhamdulillah. Yeah, okay, as I said, that the woman voice is not awra. Some say that the woman voice is awra, but there is no any dalil. No any dalil for that. No? Wallahu alam. But she must not speak softly, which cause fitna to the men. Naam? Allahu a'lam. Right, we'll take another question from Palto. Right, one more question from music, please. Send one question from music. On Palto, Abdullah says, Muwaffaq for says, Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it permissible to give a kafir a Quran for da'wah? A Quran is a Quran, the whole Arabic text, it is not permissible because they are impure. Now, and if you know that this person is willing to know about Islam, brother or sister clockwise, please wait until we tell you, because this will interrupt. Right. This question from Muwaffaq, you giving the Quran to the non-Muslim, we said that as the whole Quran of the Arabic text, no, it's not allowed. It's not allowed. Naam, under whatsoever circumstance. But if you know that this person is willing to know about Islam, then you can give him the translated or the translation of the interpretation of the Quran, like the one of Muhsin Khan and Taqiyuddin Hilali. Now, and that is in a condition or with a condition if you know that this person is willing to know about Islam. Naam, Allahu A'lam. Naam, Clark says, when is said that there is cure for evil, for every illness? Does it mean only Quran or every what? You complete your question, please. You're not just send it by questions like that. Or every medicine. No, every medicine. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما أنزل الله من داء إلا أنزل له دواء علمه من علمه وجهله من جهله. Allah Ta'ala never descended any illness except that He sent down the medicine of it. Some will know it and some would not know it. Now, but the Quran is a matter of curing of all illnesses whatsoever. Naam, Allahu A'lam. From Wazik we have Jamal bint Yahya says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Please hold, nobody says anything in Wazik, please. Sorry Sheikh, I know you spoke about this last week, but I would like to ask a question about when you say it is not good to use the names Rahma, Huda, Iman. How can I explain this to someone as I explained it to you? I told you that first of all, if you look to the the earlier Arabs, like the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you don't find any woman called Rahma or Huda or Iman. You never find that. You find Zainab, Hind, Fatima, Aisha, Khadija, like that. But you don't find a woman called Huda. And I don't know why they insisted to call a woman Huda. Why not a man? Iman, why a woman? Why not a man? Rahma, why a woman? Why not a man? And the other point I mentioned, what Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala clarified, and he said that this is, first of all, it is not from the names that the Arab uses. It's not a name for human. Second, Shaykh Uthaymeen said that it is also wrong because someone may come and call the family in this house and say, is there any Rahma in this house? Is Rahma in this house? They say, no Rahma in this house. A'udhu billah. What is, if it is no Rahma in this house? Is there any Iman in this house? Is Iman in this house? No Iman in this house. What does that mean? Kufr? Subhanallah. So that's why the Shaykh said that it is not permissible to use these names. Besides that, these, as we said, are not from the Arab's names. These are not from the Arab's names. Know that it is your names. Yani, these words are Arabic words. These are not English, Spanish, French, Urdu, whatsoever. These are Arabic words. Rahma. Even if Urdu, they still use it. Huda, Rahma. But this is not true. This is Arabic word. And in any other language use it, it means that they have just took it from Arabic. Now, the Arabs themselves, in the early days, they did not used to use these words, although they knew them. But they did not use them as names for people. So this is a mistake, wallahu a'lam. Now, Aisha bint, or Aisha Ummu Muhammad, I'm sorry, I am not trying to break the rules. I'm just not sure whether I was supposed to post again as the sister accidentally bombed my question. Please send it again. I didn't see your question. That's why I say, please, brothers and sisters, especially on Wednesday, you wait until we say, please. As far as Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh, wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How can we advise first let me just mention something, Ikhwan, in regard to salam. Salam to be said when somebody comes into the place, right? When somebody comes into a room or a classroom for a first time, then he says salam. What we know is that everyone has a question, he must precede it with a salam. And that is actually wrong. That is actually wrong. Because you've been with us now. You did not just join us, and you are not going to leave us. The salam is to be given once person comes in, or he is leaving. Anyway, it says here, How can we advise those who say that the protesters in Egypt are not from the Khuruj, since they were not violent? Wallahi, Ikhwan, first of all, we say, forget about Khuruj or not Khuruj. Let us say that demonstration is from Islam. Let us say that, did it bring any good to Egypt now? Until now there is nothing. And believe me, what will come is not going to be better than all who passed. Believe me. Believe me and you will see. The days will show you. These Mubarak, Sadat before him, Jamal Abdel Nasser, Muhammad Najib before him, these were all almost close age agers. Naam? And they're the ones who done the overruling the king of Egypt, King Pharaoh, right? So the people said, yeah, this is good, and they all came out to the streets yelling their names, Najib, Abdel Nasser, Sadat, Mubarak, etc., etc. Today they are saying, no, we don't want these people, we want others. So every other, every other decade, we are going to demonstrate against one, Allah musta'an. That is not correct. That is not correct. They should go through the proper channel, which is the ulama, not even the Congress or whatsoever, no, but the ulama. They're the ulama in Egypt are ignored, are abandoned. There are ulama in Egypt, but they are abandoned. No one goes back to them. Naam, Allah musta'an, which is wrong. Same thing in Tunisia, in Algeria, in Yemen, in Bahrain, in Libya, in Sudan, in Oman now. Yani, this is a kind of what we call that, tragedy or what? I don't know really what's happening to the people. They are looking for a comfortable life, but they are taking a wrong direction. The real comfortable life is in Islam. No one is calling for Islam. Everyone is saying they want freedom and democracy. Freedom and democracy. Freedom and democracy. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Same things, same signs. These rulers who they are now demonstrating against are using, were using when they demonstrated first. They used the same thing. We want democracy, we want freedom. We want democracy, we want freedom. Today, the people are saying the same thing to these rulers who used to say, to raise these same statements. And people today are using the same statement. And this shows us that it is all wrong. It is all wrong. Whether it is Khawarij or not Khawarij. But the way they talk is definitely wrong. It's definitely wrong. This is not the way of Islam. Way of Islam says that people have to be obedient to their leaders, even if their leaders were not just with them, even if their leaders treat them badly, they still need to be patient. First. Second, if they want to correct the situation, is Islam too weak that it cannot correct the situation, so we abandon it and go to the man-made laws of the kuffar and follow them on it? Demonstrations and etc., etc., these are all wrong. These are all wrong. And men and women, all together mixed. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Where is Islam? Where is Islam? And that's why we say, Akhwan, the proper channel is to go through the ulama. To go through the ulama. And nothing else. Allah Ta'ala commanded us to return it back to the ulama. And not to anyone else, but to the ulama. Wallahu a'lam. Let me take one question from Paltok. Please, no one send the question now on Wizik until we come back to it. Let's see if Paltok has any questions. We don't have any questions. Okay.
hear a question from a stranger and a passerby. Says, Barakallahu fika wa ra'aka, Shaykh, Ameen wa iyaka. Does washing my 12-year-old nephew who has a mental disability break my wudu? Yes, if you touch directly the private parts, yes, but you are not allowed to touch the private parts directly. You have to wrap a cloth over your hand or wear gloves or something like that, but you don't touch directly. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. The clerk says, would the president of Libya could be martyred if the protesters will kill him? First of all, why we look to these things? First of all, we need to ask Allah Ta'ala to guide everyone to the right path before they die. Second, what can this question make any or add any information to you or any benefit to you? We cannot witness no one as a martyr, even if he is killed in the battle fighting against the kuffar, except who Allah Ta'ala told us that he is a martyr, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that he is a martyr. We cannot say yani give this yani as we say this medley to everyone. Oh, he's a martyr. Allah knows best. And the Libyan president has his own problems in regard to Islam. Enough, his green book, which he removed from the Quran, every word that says, Qul, say, O Muhammad. He says, this was to Muhammad, not to us, remove it. Enough that he said that the Kaaba is not only for Muslims. Who said it is for Muslims? Allah Ta'ala said, Linnas, for all mankind. So how come they only make it for Muslims? And then he said, if the Papa in Vatican wants to go and do tawaf around the Kaaba, is allowed. He said that the Yahud, the Christians, they can go. And then he said only the Arab pagans, Quraysh, at the time of Quraysh, are the ones meant by the saying of Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ عَامٍ هَذَا. Verily the Mushrikun, the pagans, or the idolaters are impure, so they are not allowed to enter Mecca. So he says that this is only those people, not anyone after them. Subhanallah. I'm wondering if this man is still Muslim. He plays with the Sharia the way he likes. Naam? But what can it benefit us now to say this man is a martyr or this man is not? We cannot witness no one to the Jannah. We cannot witness no one to the fire as long as he is still Muslim. Naam? If the person is still Muslim, we cannot witness him to the fire until he commits a matter of apostasy, right? Like this one now. I doubt if any ulama say that Qaddafi is still Muslim. I doubt, really. Because the one who changed the Quran and also he says that
it is wrong to yani stop the Christians and Jews from coming to the Kaaba. Since when, first of all, yani see the poor understanding, or maybe he understands, but he intentionally does that. Allah knows best. Yani even during the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, and even before the Prophet ﷺ, there were no Jews or Christians came to Mecca for tawaf, as he said. And even at those days, and no one maybe stopped them coming, but no one of them yani comes because they know that this place is the only, it's not for them. It used to be for the children of Ismail, and they are children of Ishaq. And when Muhammad ﷺ was sent, it was known that it is only for Muslims. Subhanallah. Anyway, I mean, you brothers and sisters, please ask questions that you benefit. You get a benefit. You have no benefit to know if Muhammad al-Qaddafi is going to be a martyr or going to be in the hellfire. You don't have any benefit in that. Please, don't waste your time, my time, and the brothers and sisters' time. Ask only questions that benefit you, increasing your iman. If you ask me, shall we go and prostrate against Muammar al-Qaddafi there in Libya? I say no. You stay where you are. Worship Allah. And the ulama already said that to the people in Libya. At the time of the fitan, at the time of the fitna, the Muslims should remain seated home. Because now, who's killing in Libya? It is true by the command of Muammar al-Qaddafi, but these are soldiers who are Muslims. Muslim soldiers are killing Muslim citizens, civilians. That's a problem, Ikhwan. So that's why we say an advice to the Salafis in Libya and Tunisia, Egypt, Bahrain, Yemen, Sudan, Oman, wherever they are, Algeria, remain seated away, remain seated home, worship, worship Allah. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that the worship during the times of fitna is the reward of martyr. Allahu A'lam. Naam. I'm sorry, Clark, I did not mean to be harsh with you, but I directed the speech to everybody, not only you. Allah knows best. Okay, let's take a question from, what is it? Here's a question from Aisha Ummu Muhammad. She says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Sheikh, some people argue and support of current events around the Muslim world by quoting a story in which Umar asked the Sahaba when he was Khalifa what they would do if he stayed strayed from what is correct, and they said that wallahi they would fight him with their swords. What is the context, and how can we respond to this particular story? First of all, let them prove this story. This story is not authentic. It's not authentic. And Umar ibn Khattab is not the person that might stray away, and he's not going to test the people with that. Now, and the second thing is, If we assume that this story is right, Ya Ikhwan, this was between Umar and people who know the Sharia. Do these people now in the streets, in the squares, know the Sharia? Ya Ikhwan, you see them mixing men and women. You see them clean shaved. Even those as in the Tahrir Square and Egypt in Cairo, where the judges and some other du'at came on the crowd. Subhanallah, no one was reminding to segregate between women, men and women. Subhanallah. Or they want to say that at these times our hearts are busy. Wallahi, it is a lie. Wallahi, it is a lie. Ya Ikhwan, we have to be careful of our religion. Do not let the kuffar lead us away. Naam? This is all wrong. Naam? And the other thing, what we're going to do with the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, during the time of the fitan, you only worship Allah Ta'ala in your house. And of course, if there is a prayer in the masjid, men to go to the masjid, but they increase the worships in the house. Allahu A'lam. Samal Basira on Thought Talk says, does he make his green book equal or over the Quran? And how do we view anyone who makes a book equal or over the Quran? The way you do is refer it back to the ulama, and the ulama should have, should speak about that. And when I say the ulama, I mean the ulama, the like of the permanent committee of fatwa in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and the like, the major ulama, those who spent their lives, which is maybe over 60 years, all in seeking knowledge and teaching it. Those are the ones you raise such questions to them. And whether they tell you this is not your business, don't get involved, or they tell you the answer, then you respond to what they tell you. They might tell you, this is not your business. Don't feel sad, this is true, this is not your business. Naam, it's their business. Allah is not going to ask you, but Allah is going to ask them. Naam, Allahu A'lam. Wallahi, ya Ikhwan, if we only take care about our acknowledgement of Islam, awareness of Islam, we learn it properly, we'll not need to all this kind of mess today. But because Muslims refrain away from their the knowledge of their religion, that's why you see all this type of mist now. Naam? So we have to be careful, Ikhwan. Ummu Mujahid, we'll take one from Wizik. Saliha Abdul Khaliq says, when a sister reads the Quran, must she cover her head? MashaAllah, this is one good question today. This is one good question today. No, she does not need to cover her head. She does not need to cover her head. There is no any dalil that says that the woman should cover her head, although the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, the wives of the Sahaba used to recite the Quran. And no one said that Rasulullah ﷺ told them to cover their head, nor that they said it must be covered. Wallahu a'lam. Back to Bartok, and Umm Mujahid says, when my husband and son went to the masjid Friday, there was a khatib there that was opening, calling for khuruj of the rulers. My husband and son tried to talk to several brothers after the khutbah to discuss their level of incorrectness, but by the end, the other brothers from the masjid became disrespectful and rude. My son is now frustrated and needs some words to encourage him, as opposed to becoming angry about the situation. Jazakallah khair. Well, my word to your son, my advice to him is, seek the knowledge. Ya ikhwan, all human is like a person who has weak sighting, and you need a big size of glasses to see. Now, without this, you're not going to read, you even not going to see your way. What you need to do is put the glasses on your eyes, on your face, then you will see normally like everyone else. These glasses is the knowledge of the Sharia of Islam. We have to learn, ya ikhwan. We have to learn. The Ummah today is far, far away from their religion. They don't learn their religion. That's a major problem, ya ikhwan. We have to learn, ya ikhwan. Without learning, we cannot. Have you ever seen a judge become a judge while he never studied the law? Whether it is the law of Islam or the law of man, whatsoever. But they not assign him as a judge without it, because he cannot then distinguish between what is right, what is wrong, ya ikhwan. Now, right. Back to Pal Talk. I will have Zainab says, is the wudu of a person who wears braces on his teeth valid? Yes, it is valid. Yes, it is valid. Because these braces are not removable, as I know. So it is valid, inshallah. Now I'm back to Pal Talk. Learning Muslima says, حياك الله وحياكم مبارك فيكم. Now, may I send a personal question to you via WhatsApp after the dars? No, send it to the email. ilmforall@hotmail.com. Ummu Ayman 86 says, Barakallahu feekum ya Shaykh wa feekum Barakallah. In the masjid, they are praying Qiyamul Layl and making the Qunut Dua in Jum'ah for the people in Libya. Is this something known from Islam? In regard to Qiyamul Layl, this is not from the Sunnah to keep doing Qiyamul Layl constantly in the masjid in Jama'ah except in Ramadan, right? But if some, yani maybe one night, two nights like that, they were together and they do Jama'ah, that's okay. Now, but in regard to Dua al-Qunut in the Jama'ah, in the Jama'ah prayer, if it is in the Jama'ah prayer, like in Fajr, Duhur, Asr, Maghrib, inshallah this is okay, because Rasulullah ﷺ did Dua al-Qunut when the 70 Sahaba that he sent to some tribe in Najd to teach them Islam, and they trapped them and killed them. Isa sallam, before he knew that they were killed, he or even after, he did a qunut for a month in all the five time prayers against Ra'al and the Quran. But anyway, this is something good to do. Make dua for the Muslims. Now, Clark says, can you give example of names, people who are over third generations? What do you mean by third generations? You mean after yani, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een? You mean the Tabi'een? I hear that the best people are first, second, and third people after Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, that's true. Up to the 4th century, this was the best generations. From the first generation were the Sahaba, and then the Tabi'een, the like of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, al-Hasan al-Basri, and the like. And then you have the ones next to them, like Imam Malik, Imam Malik from the Tabi'een. You have Sufyan al-Thawri, etc., etc. These are the 400 years. And after the 400 years, the people become very less in knowledge and fear and and everything. Now, okay, question Rizik says, what happens to the soul, to the souls of people, of the people whose bodies are cremated, burned? I said yesterday that the grave of every person is just by the time he dies. Once the soul comes out, it's not going to be left away for nowhere. No, there is the grave of it. The separation between the soul and body, that is the grave itself. Whether it is the body is buried in the land and in the earth, or burnt, or as I said yesterday, killed or eaten by wild animals, or drawn in the sea, and whale ate the body, or whatsoever. Now, question from Bartok, stranger. Right, we take one from music until they come. Aswad says, somehow I can't read this, very, very small. Aswad says, can women block hair of their chin? If a woman has hair on her chin, yes, she has to remove it. She has to remove it. No, numbs is, this is not numbs. This is not numbs. Numbs is for the eyebrows. That is the numbs is there, but on the chin is, it is not numbs. Allahu A'lam. Says here, numbs is used for men to not remove their beards as well. Wallahi, they are not allowed to shave it, rather to bulk it. But yani, Allah musta'an, these are yani, trying to be as smooth as the woman. Allah musta'an. As I told you, it is allowed because Allah Ta'ala created human on the best of their images. And 99% of women have no hair on their cheeks nor chin. So what comes for 1% is something irregular. That's why she is allowed to remove it. And some ulama say it is obligatory to remove it, not to be similar to a man in looking, as well as the man has to leave his beard, not to remove it, so he does not be similar to the woman. Wallahu a'lam. A question from Parta, from stranger and passerby, says, is it correct to put a mushaf by the baby, believing that it is a hijab against harm and shaitan? If you tell them it is not correct, they say, then why is it allowed to touch it when a woman is in her menses? Please clarify. Jazakallah khair. First of all, the woman in menses touching the Quran, there are different opinions from the scholars. The strongest opinion is that it is allowed. It is allowed because the hadith that they say Rasulullah ﷺ said that it is not permissible for a woman to touch the mushaf is weak. And second, Rasulullah ﷺ used to recite the Quran, as Aisha radiallahu anha said, when his head was in her thighs and between her thighs, and she was in menses and he was reciting the Quran. Naam. So it is not a proof that the woman in the menses does not touch the Quran. Even if it is the only opinion, still it's not an evidence that says that the Quran can be used as a protector from the shayateen by putting it only. No. And if so, why Rasulullah ﷺ did use to do ruqya to Hassan Hussein every time he sees them? Why he didn't hang the Quran on their necks and that's it? Why he didn't put the Quran by their pillows? Now, the Quran is not for that. The Quran is to be recited. And even the protection of the Quran is through recitation, not through hanging the Quran in a frame on the wall or on the table, or put the mushaf in the car or in the house or by the baby. All this is wrong, Ikhwan. All this is wrong. Naam. And this, naam. Okay, another question from Wizik, inshallah. Kawarir says, is it allowed to make dua in sujood and other languages? No. In salah, in the entire salah, dua is only in Arabic. If you don't know it, you just do istighfar and that's it. And you do of the dhikr what you know. If you want to do dua in your language, then outside the salah. Outside the salah, you can do dua anytime, in tawaf, in sa'i, in the jamarat, in arafah, and anytime. You can do dua in whatsoever language you want, except in salah. Wallahu a'lam. And some ulama say even tawaf, but I did not see any دليل for that. الله أعلم. فالتوك طويلبا says, أحسن الله إليكم وإليكم. Is the minimum for saying in سجدة or ركوع سبحان الله سبحان ربي العظيم or سبحان ربي الأعلى 3 times or one time? No, the wajib, the obligatory is only 1 time. 3 times is sunnah. 3 times is sunnah. Right. But we'll take one more question now from Paltok and then stop for rest. Now, for 10 minutes break, inshallah. Cox says, is it okay to do wudu when I have hair oil? No. On my hair, or does water has to pass through the hair? No, it has to pass through the hair. You have to remove the oil of your hair. If it is still sticky and can be seen. I hear that there are some oils today, once it is put on the hair, maybe 5-10 minutes, then it disappears. And the hair is only dry. Such type of oil, it's okay. But with other than this oil, and the normal oils, no, it is not allowed. Wallahu a'lam. We'll take a break, 10 minutes, and then come back, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.